Tanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Vridam Yachai Puna Puna Srimad Rupapadam Bujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasari Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Ramya Tira Ramba Mana Goka Ramba Bhushita Divya Ganda Vaka Damba Puspa Raja Bhushita Nanda Suno Bhakta Sangam Sangam Abhinandani Mampunattu Sarvadara Vinda Bandhu Nandani. So I was just remembering this verse because we have a nice little new Saki here with us today named Kalindi. So this verse is all about Jamuna. Huh? Because Jamuna has got so many names. Actually her name Kalindi comes from the fact that she comes from the top of Kalinda Mountain. Therefore she's known as Kalindi. Or, very sweet name, Kalindagiri Nandani. Kalindagiri, Giri means mountain, so Kalindagiri Nandani, the daughter of Kalinda Mountain. Huh? Or just we can also say Kalinda Nandani. She's also called Krishna Priya, because she's very dear to Krishna. She's also called Krishna, because she's very blackish, that we saw in Kumbh Mela. The water from Ganga was coming very light colored, but water from Jamuna was coming very dark color. Then they were mixing together and then going off together. Jamuna was very dark color. And Ganga is very light color. She's also called Suryaputri because she is the daughter of the sun god. This is a very interesting story. She originally comes down from Golok, but she has a pastime of appearing here. So what happened was that there was one fellow named Biswakarma. And he was very much devoted to Surya. So he had a very beautiful daughter named Sangya. So he decided to give her in marriage to Surya. You know the meaning of Sangya? Yes. Gya. Where do we hear Gya? Gyan. We heard that word Gyan before, knowledge. Or Sangya means awareness. Just like as soon as sun comes up, then we become aware of everything. So naturally the wife of the sun should be Sangya. Huh? When it's dark we can't see anything, but as soon as sun we become aware of everything. Sangya means awareness. But sun, he was very, very bright, and when he approached his wife, then she shut her eyes very tightly. So he became very angry and upset. So he cursed her, therefore you will get a son who will make everyone close his eyes and everyone will be afraid of your son. So then she fell down on his feet and began to massage his feet very nicely and to speak pleasing words. And she said, what can I do? Your tage is so powerful. What can I do like this? So seeing her very submissive attitude like that, and he was feeling sorry, but I've already spoken his curse, I can't take it back. He said, but you will get a daughter who will free everyone from the fear of your son. So she gave birth to twins, Yum and Yummy. Yum means Yamaraj, who makes everyone shut his eyes, and everyone's very much frightened of Yamaraj. And Yamuna, by taking bath in Yamuna, then we become free from the fear. All our sins are washed away. We have no more fear of Yamaraj. So they're brother and sister. Just like at Bisram Ghat, there's brother and sister temple. Yam and Yami temple is there. Yamuna and Yamaraj. So she's known as Yamuna. She's also known as Surya Putri. Also known as Bhanu Nandini. You know Bhanu Maharaj? So Bhanu means sun. Bhanu Nandini. Like that. But in this particular verse, from Srila Rupa Goswami's Jamunastak, he gives her a very special name. Arabinda Bandhu Nandini. Arabinda means? You don't know? We sing every day, Bande Guru Sri Charan Arabindam. Lotus. Arabinda means lotus. Arabinda Bandhu. You know Bandhu, just like Dean Bandhu. Bandhu, yeah, friend. Just like English, there's a connection between, there's a bond. So it's easy to remember. Bandhu. Bandhu means friend. There's some connection. Bandhu. So Aravinda Bandhu, friend of the Aravinda lotus. So who's the friend of the lotus flowers? No, the sun. Because as soon as sun will come, then every lotus will open his face in a very beautiful smile. And as soon as sun goes down, then every lotus will close his face. As soon as Chandra will come, then he will close his face. So Arabinda Bandhu Nandini, the daughter of the friend of all the lotus flowers, Surya Putri Jamuna. So he says, Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita Divyaganda Bhakadamba Pusparaja Rushita Nandasuno Bhakta Sangam Sangam Abhinandani Mampunatu Sarvadara Vinda Bandhu Nandani. Ramya. Ramya means very lovely. Ramyatira. We know tira, right? We sing every day in class time. What is it? Jamuna Tira. Tira means? Bank. Ramya Tira. So Jamuna has got very lovely tear, very lovely bank. Ramya Tira Rambamana Go Kadamba. Now you know the word Kadamba and you think it means flower, but actually in Sanskrit Kadamba means group. Because you've seen the Kadamba flower, isn't it? It's a whole group of little flowers, huh? It's like a little ball. Or here we have big balls here in Mayapur. Right? They're big, about this big, you know? With so many hundreds of little flowers. It's a whole group of flowers, so it's called, Kadamba means group. But here we're talking, what group? Go Kadamba. Which group?
Cows.
Cows. Go Kadamba. And what are those cows doing? Rambamana. You know Rambamana? Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita. You know the word abhushan? What does abhushan mean? You don't know? Yes, you do. Abhushan means ornaments. Just like little girls are always attached to so many ornaments. So Jamuna, she's also a girl. She likes ornaments too. But what are her ornaments? Not gold and silver, but beautiful little white and brown and red and yellow and black little cows wandering along her banks going, this is her abhushan. This is her ornament. Ramyatira Rambamana Gokadamba Bhushita Divyaganda Bhakadamba Pusparaja Rushita. Now again the word Kadamba has come, but now it refers to the tree. And Rupa Goswami has kept two meanings in one line. One is that her lovely banks are covered with Kadamba trees. Other is that the Kadamba trees are covered with Kadamba flowers. And Divya, you know Divya? It's almost like English. Divine. Divya Gandha. Gandha means fragrance. The divine fragrance is flowing in all directions. Divya Gandha Bhakadamba Puspa Raja Rushita. Nanda Suno. Suno means son, the son of Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Suno Bhakta Sangha. Those who were the devotees of the son of Nanda Maharaj. He doesn't say Krishna. Just like when you go to the hotel, right? You have to write, when you sign in into the hotel, in India anyway, you have to write your name, father's name. Because there may be so many Gulab Chand Agarwals. But we want to know the Gulab Chand Agarwal that's the son of Radhisham Agarwal. Maybe so many Gulab Chand. So there may be so many Krishnas. Which Krishna? Nanda Suno, the one who's the son of Nanda Maharaj. So those devotees, Bhakta Sangha, Sangam, that some have come from this side, some have come from that side, some have come from here, some have come from there. They're coming from all directions early in the morning to take bath in the Jamuna. And Sangam, Abhinandani, she's doing the Abhinandan. She's welcoming all of those devotees. Mam punatu sarva dara vinda bandhu nandani. I always offer my respects to that beautiful daughter of the friend of all the lotus flowers, Surya Putri Jamuna. So, we're in Kamyavan, where all our spiritual desires will be fulfilled. And we were just at Bimalkund. There are so many wonderful pastimes have taken place. Even one time, very interesting pastime took place here, that Duryodhana, he knew that the Pandavas were in exile and they were staying there in Kamyavan, that wasn't far from Hastinapur. So he came there with all his army men and chariots and everything, just to make fun. They were just wandering around in the forest, and he came there. They were just having sports and just to make fun of them. So that time, Indra, he sent his commander-in-chief, Chitragupta, that you go there and arrest this fellow. So then Chitragupta, he attacked Duryodhan, and big battle was taking place. Somehow or other, he captured this Duryodhan and tied him up, and he began to cry. Yudhisthira and his brothers were nearby. They heard this wailing. When he understood that Duryodhana was in trouble, he immediately sent Arjuna and Bhima, you go save him. So he went there, and there was a big battle with Chitragupta and Arjuna. And this way Chitragupta was defeated, and he became very amazed. He said, I have defeated your enemy. Now why are you attacking me? And Yudhisthira told him, he said, look, if we fight amongst ourselves, we may be 5 and 100. But if somebody fights from the outside, we're 105. If we fight amongst ourselves, we may be 5 and 100. But if somebody fights from the outside, then we're all one. We're 105 brothers. So this pastime also took place just by this Bimalkund. Then not far from Bimalkund is Yasodakund. Because like I said, sometimes the Brijbasis used to come and stay here in Kamyavan when the grasses were worn out in Nandagram, then they would come over here to Kamyavan and stay. So Yasoda had her special kund where she would do puja and so many different things, cooking and so many things. So Yasoda Kund is there. Then not far from there, we see a whole bunch of rocks arranged just like a little bridge. Because one thing we forgot to mention about Bimalkund is that there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of monkeys. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of more monkeys than even a yogi. If you go to yogi, you'll see monkeys. Even in Chitrakoot, you'll see monkeys, but you'll not see as many monkeys as we do as we see in Bimalkund. Hundreds and hundreds of all the time. We take prasad, we have to have all four corners somebody with stick. Now, there's a reason for this. Because we've heard all about the story of King Bimaldev and his 1 crore daughters. Huh? 10 million daughters. Who were those 10 million daughters in their previous life? Do you know? They were all the ladies of Ayodhya. Ayodhya was a very big city. It had so many residents. There was 10 million ladies living in that grand city of Ayodhya. And all of them wanted to marry Lord Ram. He was so attractive. Every little girl, every woman, every female in Ayodhya wanted to marry Lord Ram. But he only had vow. He had vow only one wife. Although as a king, he could have had many wives, because generally we see kings have many wives, but he took vow of Eka Patni Vrata. But he understood their desire, so all the ladies of Ayodhya were born as the daughters of King Bimaldev. He said, not this incarnation, next incarnation. So when Krishna came, then all those... So therefore, there's a connection between this Bimal Kund and Ayodhya and Lord Ram. These are the Ayodhya Vasini Gopis. It's like we know in the Rasa dance, there were so many different classes of gopis. So the these are the Ayodhya Vasini Gopis. And not this class, but last class we heard about the Kachayani Vrat. So those were, all those gopis were the Mittala Vasini Gopis. All the girls in Ayodhya, Mittala, the kingdom of Janak Maharaj, where Sita was born. They all wanted to marry Lord Ram also, but he said, not this incarnation, next one. So they came as the Mittila Vasini. Then the Srutis one time, they glorified Krishna. They went all the way, when he asked for benediction, they said, we want to see your home. And he took them all the way above Vaikuntha, all the way up to Golok. And there he saw the gopis sporting with Lord Krishna. And the Srutis, they begged to become followers of the gopis. So they got entrance into Rasa dance. Now, Mother Lakshmi, she couldn't get. But the Srutis, because they became followers of the cowherd damsels of Braj, then they were allowed to enter. They were the Srutichari gopis. Like, there's so many different, we can go on and on, so many different classes of gopis with us. So these are Ayodhya Vasini gopis. So because of the connection with the Ayodhya, therefore there's so many monkeys there. Therefore we also see this bridge there. That bridge is called Setu Bandha. Just like if you go to the south of India, you'll find one place there, Rameshwaram, where there's Setu Bandha, where Lord Ram built a bridge. So how did this bridge get there in Braj? Well, at that place, of course now we can't see it, but there used to be a huge lake there. And one time all the gopis came there with big pots of butter and milk and yogurt on their heads. And they realized they were going to have to walk all the way around that lake. And they saw Nandanandan was standing there, and they said, oh, you're always bragging that you were Lord Ram in your previous lifetime. So here, if you're Lord Ram, there's so many monkeys here, there's so many stones here. If you were actually Lord Ram in your last life, then you make a big bridge across this lake. We don't have to walk all the way around. So then Krishna, he blew on his flute, and all the monkeys came there, and they stood there very respectfully with folded hands. Do you ever see monkeys do like that? They're always very mischievous. They never all stand together very submissively, but they all came there like this with folded hands. So then Lord Krishna told them to build a bridge across the lake. So they immediately built this great big bridge across the lake, and all the gopikas were very happy. They danced across the lake, and when they got to the other side with Nandanandan, they looked at him. We said, we still don't believe you, Lord Ram, but because you're so mischievous, you're the leader of all these monkeys. Therefore, you got them to build this bridge. And they all laughed. So, and nearby Setu Bandha, we'll find also Rameshwaram is there. One Shiva deity is there, Linga. And nearby is the Ashok Grove. Ashokvan, little place there called Ashokvan. Remember the Ashokvan? In Lanka, Ravan, he kept Sita in the Ashokvan. So we'll also find Ashokvan is there. Then we'll see so many places. Gaya Kund is there, where the Gaya Tirth is visible in Braj. And then, just nearby Gaya Tirth, as we come up a little ways, we find a beautiful Radha Govinda temple. In fact, all these Govinda, Gopinath, Madan Mohan, we'll find their temples also in Kamyavan. Because all of them, they were originally established in the town of Vrindavan, and later they went to Radhakund, and from Radhakund they came to Kamyavan, where they stayed for some time, and then finally, for safety, because they moved all these times because the Muslims were attacking, so finally Jai Singh, he took them all to Jaipur. So we'll find this beautiful Radha Govinda temple, and where there's still a very beautiful deity of Radha Govinda, exquisitely beautiful deity of Radha Govinda. And facing Radha Govinda, on the left side, we'll find a very beautiful temple of Brindadevi. Because this Brindadevi, she was originally established in Vrindavan next to Radha Govinda. Because just near Brahmakund, Rupa Goswami found this deity at Brahmakund of Brindadevi, and he established a small temple just on the side of Radha Govinda temple. So later they went to Radhakund, and then from Radhakund they came to Kamyavan, which is the western edge of Braj. And when the king tried to take, he put Radha Govinda deities on his big chariot, and they tried to lift up Brindadevi to put her on another chariot, and they couldn't move her. They brought so many men, they couldn't move her. She refused to go outside the lotus of Braj. So they left her there at that old Radha Govinda temple in Kamyavan. So there's a very beautiful deity of Brindadevi there. And this whole Vrindavan is the forest of Brindadevi. But she has surrendered that forest, her kingdom, she's surrendered at the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. So Radharani is now become the queen of Vrindavan, and Krishna has become the king of Vrindavan. In fact, one time, Radharani, she was thinking, this Brindadevi, she's so wonderful. She surrendered her whole kingdom and everything to me. And she arranges our pastimes so sweetly, because Brindadevi, she's arranging all the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. In fact, we can't even be sitting here hearing about these pastimes unless we have Brindadevi's mercy. So you all have Brindadevi's mercy somehow or other, to be even able to sit here as a listener to these pastimes. She's arranging everything. And she arranges so sweetly and so nicely everything she arranges. Radharani thinks, this Brindadevi, she's so wonderful. She does so much nice service for me. What can I do to repay her? So one day she made a plan with all the other sakis, and they made a beautiful throne big enough for two people. And somehow or other, without Brindadevi suspecting anything, they sat Brindadevi down on that throne. And she was sitting there, and they were talking with her, and then keeping her distracted. Then from the other side, Visakha, she led Lord Krishna into that assembly, and somehow or other, very quietly, they sat Lord Krishna straight down next to Brindadevi on that throne. As soon as Krishna was sitting right next to Brindadevi, then immediately Lalita, she took the position of the priest, and she began to chant the mantras for marriage ceremony. And Radharani, she actually exchanged the garlands between Brindadevi and Krishna. And this way they performed a wonderful marriage ceremony of Brindadevi. Like this. Of course, none of the gopis ever want to directly enjoy with Sri Krishna. Their only business, their only desire is to arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna. But still, sometimes Radharani, she arranges things like this. So she arranged. So it would be a very beautiful deity of Brindadevi, painted completely red. And we can't see anything except her face. Oh, a beautiful skirt all around like this, and all we can see is this beautiful, very, very exquisitely beautiful red face. Maybe some of you have seen pictures of this Brindadevi deity. So a little ways behind, we come to Chaurasi Kamba. Chaurasi means? Just like we're now on Chaurasi Coast, Prikama of Braj. And there's Chirasi Lak Joni, Chirasi Lak species of life. I'm giving such a hint, you can't think. What is Chirasi? Chirasi. Chirasi means 84. Char and Asi. 84. Chirasi. So this palace is called Chirasi Kamba. Kamba means pillar. Just like last class we went to Gokul, there we also see one Chirasi Kamba. But also in Kamivan, Maharaj Nanda, he had a very beautiful palace, very, very interesting palace, so big, tall palace. You can see people in Dwapara Yuga very tall, because it's a very, very tall palace, and there's a beautiful throne there where Maharaj Nanda would sit, and he would put Krishna and Balaram on either side of him, and then he would take some food and he would put it in Krishna's mouth, and he would take some and put it in Balaram's mouth, and this way he would feed Krishna and Balaram. And he would hold his assemblies here in this place, very wonderful places there, and very, very ancient, not like the ordinary architecture that we see. These are very, very ancient style kambas, and very, very, very old place. And a little farther beyond there, then we come to the temple of Gopinath. It's way in the back of Kamivan, the town of Kamivan. But huge temple is there, very beautiful temple is there. This is where Gopinath stayed before he went off to Jaipur. A very beautiful temple of Gopinath is there. And then as we come back into the town, we find a little temple of Madan Mohan. It actually doesn't even look like a temple, it just looks like Sambrish Bazi's house. Because one time, Madan Mohan, he came in that house, and the lady of that house, she saw him stealing butter, and she caught his hand and said, "Now you'll never leave my house." So he's staying there in that house, and he cannot leave. So there's not really a temple there, just a little, it just looks like a Brishbazi house, and this beautiful little deity of Madan Mohan is staying there. So as we come down through the bazaar of Kamivan, we cross over to the other side, and we come to Kameshwar Mahadev, who's guarding the western petal of Braj Mandal. This is a very, very powerful deity of Lord Shiva. And just as we can imagine, his name, Kameshwar, he fulfills all desires. Just to give you an example, one time, Brisbanu and Kirtida, they're very much desirous of getting a daughter, but they weren't getting any daughter. So they came there and did the puja of Kameshwar Mahadev. And as a result of that puja, they got the most wonderful daughter, Srimati Radhika, as their daughter. So just see the power of this deity. Very old temple is there, Kameshwar Mahadev. And then behind there is, we already saw, was Dharmakund. Just nearby is a little temple of Panchapandav, although two or three of them are missing. Draupadi is there, and Arjun, and I can't remember, some of them are missing. A little tiny little temple is there, commemorating that the Pandavas were staying in this place. But then there's so many places in Kamivan, it's just amazing. There's a beautiful, very special Lakshmi Narayan temple just on the edge. And as we move out on the other edge of Kamivan, way out in the jungle, a very, very peaceful place, we find Surabhikund. And sometimes it's filled with lotus flowers and white lilies. Sometimes it's, one time there wasn't any rain and we couldn't find any, but next time we came, so many beautiful pink lotus flowers and white lilies are growing in that Surabhikund. And just beside that Surabhikund, Prabodhanand Saraswati has got his bhajan kutir. And we know Prabodhanand Saraswati, he was the uncle of, do you know? Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he has written so many beautiful poems all about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So many, he gives the most beautiful description of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Radharasa Sudha Nidhi. He's got one verse. What is that? Ninda tvam pula kod kare navikasam nipa prasuna chavim prori kritya buja dvayam hari hari uchayar vatantam muhu nritta tandrutam asru nirjada chayai sinchantam urvitalam gayantam nija parshadai parivritam Sri Gaura Chandra Numa. Because many persons have written the biography. It's like our Krishnadas Kaviraj and our Vrindavan Das Thakur, Lochan Das Thakur, but he just wrote beautiful poetry about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So here he says, Ninda Tvam Pulakot Karena Vikasan Nipa Prasunat Chavim. So pulakot, pulakot, that means when our hairs stand on end. So he's describing Mahaprabhu as he's chanting the holy name of Krishna. Pulakot karina. And pulakot karina nipa. Nipa is another Sanskrit word for this kadamba tree. So he's saying that the complexion of Mahaprabhu is when he's in ecstasy chanting the holy name of Krishna is just like, he says, Nipa Prasunas, if you have so many beautiful kadamba flowers. He says, what is that? Ninda Tvam. You know Ninda, You heard the word Sadhu Ninda. Ninda means to criticize. That Mahaprabhu's complexion is so beautiful that it criticizes the beauty of, we are talking all day about these beautiful kadamba flowers, but Mahaprabhu's complexion criticizes. Now why he says kadamba flower? Because this kadamba flower is golden in complexion, just like Srimati Radhika or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And now, specifically he mentions pulakot, his hair is standing on end. Now if you see, we just described kadamba flowers as so many flowers, so when our hair is standing on end and our skin is uneven, little bumps. Like that. So little flowers are there, so the surface is up and down and up and down. And we know inside little flowers, little hairs are there. No? You have seen? Inside the little pistils and stamens and things like that are coming there. Like that. So these are also sticking out. So the surface is very golden. It's up and down and up and down. Little hairs are there. So just like these beautiful, but Ninda Tvam, it is criticizing. Even if you have a whole big bunch, Nipa Prasunas Chavi, you have a whole bunch of these beautiful kadamba flowers, Mahaprabhu's beauty is so beautiful that it Ninda Tvam, it just criticizes. Ninda Tvam Pulako Karena Vikasam Nipa Prasunas Chavim Prodi Kritya Buja Dvayam. Prodi Kritya means his two, Buja Dvayam, you know Buja Dvayam, you can figure that one out, huh? His two arms, but Prodi Kritya almost sounds like what it means. Prodi Kritya, his two arms are reaching up to the sky. Prodi Kritya Buja Dvayam Hari, Hari, Uchayar. You know Uvacha, right? So it comes from this word. Uchayar, Badantam, Muhu. In Sanskrit, whenever this word Muhu comes, it means again and again. Again and again and again and again. So he's just, he's raising his two arms up to the sky and chanting again and again, Hari, Hari, Uchayar, Badantam, Muhu. Again and again, Hari, 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 Hari. Nrityatyam, nritya, we know nritya, he's dancing. Nrityantam drutam, he's dancing like a wild man. Nrityantam drutam, ashru, ashru means tears. And tears are cascading from his, nrityantam drutam ashru, nirjarachayai. Nirjarachayai means just like cascade. It appears that that Ganges who touched the lotus toe of Lord Bamandev now is appearing from the eyes of Sriman Mahaprabhu and just cascading out onto the ground. So Sinchantam Urvi Talam. Now we heard before Tal or Tale. You know? Bhutale. Surface. And Urvi is another word for earth. Sinchantam Urvi Talam. Sinchantam means to wet. The whole earth is urvitalam. The surface of the earth is becoming wet with all those tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Gayantam nija parsharai parivritam. Gayantam, we know Gayantam. You can figure that one out. Singing. He's singing Nija Parshadai with all his Parshad, his very close. We heard this word Nija before, right? His very close associates. Nija Parshadai. Paribrita means surrounded. Huh? Sri Gaura Chandra Numa. Now there's two words. One we know, Nama. Namo, Namo, Tulasi Krishna, Prayasi, Namo. But this is Numa. Almost similar, but Nama means to offer obeisance. Numa, Numa means to glorify. I am glorifying Sri Gaura Chandra Numa. I am glorifying that beautiful Gaura Chandra, that golden moon of Lord Chaitanya. This is some of the poetry of Prabodhanand Saraswati, who had his bhajan kutir on the side of Surbikund. Now moving on, we come to a very wonderful place. It's no fun to describe that place, because this place, we don't give any description when we get to this place. There's a big flat shila, very long, about 30 feet long. And it's got a little groove in it, and it's very smooth, and it's tilted on an angle like this on the side of the hill. And we climb up there, and we sit in that little groove, and zoom! You go flying down 30 feet. This is called Pisalini, Pisalini Shila. Because we thistle, we go sliding down. So this is where, this is not a fun to talk about, because it's more fun to go there. And we get everyone. We have Qantas Airlines going down, Korean Airlines, Bima Airlines, British Airlines, Aeroflot, Alitalia, everybody. In fact, until the time I didn't go on Brajmandal Prakrama, but one time I came on Brajmandal Prakrama, they told me until that time, Lokanath Swami, he never went down that slide. But I forced him to go. So since that time, he always also goes down that slide. So here we have wonderful slide at the Cowherd Boys, right on the side of this hill. Now we go around the corner, and now we're going to do some barefoot mountain climbing. And we climb up, and there's the cave of Vyomasura. You remember Vyomasura? One time, way over by Govardhan, Krishna and all the Krishna Balaram and all the cowherd boys, they made a game. Cops and robbers. Just like nowadays, children play with cops and robbers. But this time, some of the cowherd boys became sheep. Some of them became sheep herders, some of them became thieves, and some of them became police. And Madhu Mangal became the judge. So some of the cowherd boys, they would steal the sheep, and the sheep would complain. The sheep herders would complain to the police, and the police would go and catch them. Then they bring them to the judge, who said, "You have to give at least 10 laddus if you want to get free." Like this. So in this way, they were playing and playing. So this Vyomasura, he entered into that assembly of cowherd boys, and he became a thief. But he actually began to steal the cowherd boys, and he would bring them all the way over there to Kamivan, stick them in this cave, put a big stone, go back, steal some more, put them there. Then Krishna and Balaram, they noticed that the population of cowherd boys is going down somehow or other. So then they understood this Vyomasura was there. So they came over to that place, and then, Byom, just like you heard the word Parabyom, the spiritual sky is called Parabyom, because it's beyond this Byom. It's Parabyom. So Byom means sky. So this demon, he could go flying in the sky. So when Krishna came there to attack him, then he flew up in the sky, and Krishna chased him up into the sky and grabbed him and brought him back down to the earth, and then he would fly up again, and then Krishna would again drag him down, and he would fly up in the earth. Fly up into the sky again, and Krishna went. So the whole earth was shaking. Became off balance every time they crashed to the ground. So just down the ways is a special stone where we can find the lotus footprint of Balaram. Because Balaram, he put his foot on the earth just because everything was shaking, you know. So he knows Anantashesh, he's underneath holding it up. So on top is Lord Balaram. He put his foot down to steady the earth, and his footprint, that stone just melted in ecstasy, and his footprint became there. We can see Lord Balaram's footprint there. So meanwhile, this big fight was going on. Finally, Krishna, in fact, after seeing that cave, then in a very, very, this is really fun. We're all there barefoot, and you know, and dhotis and saris are not the best thing for climbing rocks, but you have to climb all the way up on the top if you want to see. What happened was, when he would go up in the sky and come down, his marigold mala broke. He had two marigold malas and they broke. And you can see on the stone these little boop, 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 little balls, indentations like this, just in the form of his marigold malas, where they fell down. In fact, he was holding that demon with his right hand, holding him by the neck and pulling him down. You can see there's his foot, Krishna's foot, and his left hand. He came crashing down on top of that hill. Just his foot and his left hand, we can see on top of there. In fact, his mukut came off. We see, if you look down, there's a big rock with a red outline. It's got a beautiful line, beautiful outline of Krishna's mukut on the rock where his mukut fell down. All these things we can... And then we go down, there's a little tiny shrine. We climb up, very heavy mountain climbing, just climbing up like this, you know. But then going down is a nice easy way to go down. And we come by a little shrine. And in that shrine, there's the marks of where Krishna's Kostuva Mani. You saw that place? Huh? You remember? And what happened? Where the stones fell, you rub it, it feels just like butter. It's so smooth. Otherwise, stone is just rough. But when you feel that, your finger just glides across those places. The little diamond-shaped marks are there on the stone, isn't it? And you just rub it, it's just like... oil or butter is there. This is a very smooth place. So this is where his Kostuva Mani necklace broke, and wherever the necklace fell, these little marks came there on the stone. So this is that Byomasura Gufa. So then we go across the road and through the fields and across a little bridge and through a little shady walkway along the edge of the canal. And we come to this little shady spot called by two names, Bhojan Thali and Bhojan Stali. Two names it's famous for. The Stali means place of doing Bhojan, and Thali means plate. So what happened was, the cowherd boys, they had been playing all day long, and they came to this place, and they were very hungry. And they sat down, they realized they didn't have any plates. Somehow they'd forgotten to bring plates there. They didn't have any talis. So just the stones itself formed talis and katoras and katoris, and everything just came there in the stone. In fact, some of those are still there. And if you go to this place, you can't go there empty-handed. You must bring some bhog offering. Because bhojan means, you know, bhajan. But before you can do bhajan, you have to do bhojan. Buka bhajan no hoya gopala lelo apne kanti mala. The Vishwasis say, buka bhajan no hoya gopala. Buka means hungry. If my pate is empty, if my stomach is empty, I can't do bhajan. You take back your kanti mala, gopal. So one is bhojan, one is bhajan. So bhojan means to eat. So you have to bring something to eat there and offer it. You bring your little giraj or picture of Krishna or whatever. Make a nice offering right on the talis and katoras that are there. In fact, we didn't really used to do this when I came there with Brajmandal Prakama. And just before us, there was a little group of Bengalis used to come through. And somehow that we would just... There's one place in Vrindavan called Haribol Kutir. And there's one Pitambar Baba who runs that place. So he'd have a little group of Bengalis. So every once in a while we would... Sometimes we would be at the same place, sometimes they'd be ahead of us, sometimes behind us, sometimes we get to the same place. So somehow they always get to Bhojan Thali just ahead of us. And they would have piles of sweets and so many things, so many different varieties of sweets, and huge big offering they would be making. And then we come, a few bananas and some khichdi, you know, big. I heard, because I know Hindi, the Brijbasi is talking among themselves, you know, because they know Bengali means Kangali. You know, Kangali means penniless. helpless and hopeless, Kangali. Huh? But somehow or other, though they're penniless, Mataji's laughing. They would get so many wonderful sweets and so many varieties of sweets and make a nice offering. And the Bengali said, look at this big Antarashtriya Sanstai. This is the international institution. They come here, Kitri and a few bananas. So after that, I warned the Brajbandha Prakama that you have to bring lots and lots of sweets. Finally, it took two or three times before they finally did it. Now they always bring lots of sweets and make nice offering there. There's this place, the stones themselves became plates, and in fact these Bengalis, when they would sing, they had a big old songbook like this. They had so many songs in Narottam Das, because Narottam Das Thakur wrote so many songs. We just have a few, mainly, you know, mana siksha types of songs, songs to train us in Krishna consciousness. But he also sang so many Leela Kirtans. So just like we have our Bhakti Vinod's Bogarti, they had one Bogarti from Narottam Das Thakur, and it's very sweet. Whatever I don't know Bengali so well, but I could follow something. That it starts out, because right there, in front of Bhojan Thali, or Bhojan Stali, whichever one you want to call the place, because Stali means the place of doing Bhojan, Thali means the plate for doing Bhojan, there's a lake, it's called Shir Sagar. And you can see the line. One time Balaram, he knocked over that stone that was his dud katora, and his sweet rice spilled out, and there's a line right down the rock into the kund, and the water is always sort of milky colored. It's not clear, it's sort of milky colored. So this is Shir Sagar. So the song is very appropriate, because it says, it starts off that one day Lord Balaram was walking through the forest, and he saw a beautiful kund. It was very hot, the sun was, the sweet rice spilled out, and there's a line right down the rock into the kund, and the water is always sort of milky colored. It's not clear, it's sort of milky colored. So this is Shir Sagar. So the song is very appropriate, because it says, it starts off that one day Lord Balaram was walking through the forest, and he saw a beautiful kund. It was very hot, the sun was very hot, so he decided to take a bath, and he walked into the kund. And when he walked into the kund, he looked down in the water. He saw there was another cowherd boy there in the water. And he became so surprised. And then it's so sweet the way the bhajan goes. He was just staring. He started stuttering. He couldn't even speak. He was stuttering. He was so surprised to see that other boy in the water there. And he says, ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-tu-tu-tu-tu-tu-po-po-po-ra-chai. Ki-ki-ki-ki-ki-tu-tu-tu-tu-po-po-po-po-ra-chai. They sing like this, so sweet, you know. What is your introduction? Who are you? So, just then, Nandanandan came by, and he saw Dauji's out there in the middle of this kund talking to himself. The sun must be too hot. His head, he must have too much sun in his head. So then he manifested a whole bunch of clouds. So when those clouds appeared, then suddenly that boy in the water disappeared, you know. And then Balaram looked up and Nandananda said, "Hey Dauji, come on, we're going to take lunch, come." So he comes out of the water, and then all the cowherd boys are there. And Stoka Krishna says, Krishna Balaram, we're going to sit next to me. And Ujjal Saka says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Arjun Saka says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Vasant says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Mata Mangal says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Raktak says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Ujjal Saka says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Sridham says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And Sudama Saka says, no, Krishna Balaram are going to sit next to me. And anyway, somehow or other, I couldn't follow completely Bengali, but somehow they all sit down. And everyone sees that Krishna and Balaram is sitting right next to them. And then the song goes on, you know, all the Luchi Chinis, all the different preparations, just like our Bogartik. It's a very beautiful Bogartik song. Like this. So this is Bhojan Thali. So then we have a long walk from here all the way back to our camp at Bimalkund. Then the next day we start out from Bimalkund. The first place we come is a little village called Kanwara. There's two stories about this place. Because Kan, you know, means ear. So they say this is the village where Karan Chetan, where they pierced Krishna's ear. There's a special ceremony. For everything there's a special ceremony in Vedic culture. Even to pierce the ear there's a special ceremony. Also they say this is... Do we have any little girl here named Shakuntala? You don't have any friend named Shakuntala? That's sometimes in Vrindavan we have. But this is where Shakuntala was raised. You remember Shakuntala? One time there was a big... Well, he wasn't a rishi. Actually, he was a king, but he wanted to become a rishi. Named Vishwamitra. So he was performing penance and austerity, so the demigods, they got worried. So they sent Menaka. And when he heard the tinkling of his ankle bells, he woke up, and as a result, Shakuntala was born. But he was interested in becoming a Brahmin, so he went off to perform penance austerities. Menaka was interested in only being in the heavenly planets, so she didn't. They abandoned this poor little girl. And Kanwa Rishi came. His name was Kanwa. Kanwa Rishi. So Kanwa Rishi came, he found this little girl in the forest, and he brought her to his ashram, and he raised her there. And later she became the wife of Bharat Maharaj. That's a whole other story. But anyway, they say this was Kanwa Muni's ashram, where Shakuntala was raised. And now, we go down the road, and we come to one of the most beautiful places in all of Braj. Completely silent, secret place called Kadam Kandi. Now we saw Kadam Kanan before, but this is, in fact there's many different places. Kanda is, means portion, just like us. Just like we saw Ramayana, it was divided, Ayodhya Kanda and this Kanda and that Kanda. Kanda means portion, so this is a portion, filled a place, a little block of land where there's lots of Kadamba trees. And there's many Kadam Kandis all over Braj. This one is called Sunera Kadam Kandi. And it's between two little mountains. We go up this little pass and we come inside and it's just suddenly you're all alone and the whole world just disappears and there's beautiful Kadamba trees and ancient tamal trees and so many... Just hundreds and hundreds of Kadamba trees, a very, very secret, silent place. And on the other side of those mountains, on one side, if you go off to the right side, you'll see Barsana. And on the other side, you go off, the left side is Nandagram. So this is a very easy place to sneak behind the mountains where no one can see them. And Radha and Krishna used to enjoy so many wonderful pastimes in this Sunera Kadam Kandi. Very, very beautiful, secret, silent place. Just only birds are chirping. The little kund is there. A few sadhus, a couple of little ashrams are there completely. There wasn't even a road before. Now there's a road only one way. You can get there. A very, very beautiful place. And here Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who wrote Brajabhakti Vilas, which describes all the different mantras to be chanted at all the different holy places in Braj and all the different places. He stayed here and did bhajan and he discovered many, many wonderful places in this area. And we get closer to Barsana, as we're headed in the direction of Barsana. So just nearby he has his bhajan kutir, and he's very famous in Barsana for finding that beautiful deity of Sriji that's on top of the mountain there at Barsana. But he also stays here in this beautiful Kadam Kandi, and so many wonderful pastimes took place here. And in fact, as we leave, there's a little place where there's a pair of stones that have a very funny, interesting shape. And somehow or other, all the Brijbazis say these are the breasts of Putana. Now, how they got there, I don't know, but this is just what the Brijbazis tell us as we go by. There's two stones, they're a very interesting shape to them. So, as we pass by Putana's breasts, we'll go on to Sunera. So, Sunera is like, maybe you heard the word Sona. You heard the word Sona? Sona means? Golden. So, or actually, Sona means gold. But when we want to say golden, just like in English, it's gold, but we put EN on it and it becomes golden, something that's golden colored. So when we want to say something is colored like sona, then it becomes sonera. But the Vrijvasis have changed it into sunera. Anyway, it means golden. Because at this place, Lord Brahma performed many, many hundreds and thousands of years of penances and austerities at this place, just to get darshan of Krishna's Braj Leela. So because we know Lord Brahma, his complexion is, you remember when he fell down just like a golden rod before Krishna, when he stole the cowboys and calves, and Krishna book Prabhupada says he fell down just like a golden rod. So his complexion is golden. So because Lord Brahma did penances in that valley, that hill is called Sunaragram. And here we'll find in the Sunaragram, very nice place, on top of the hill, there's a Sudevi temple. Because in this village, we have two of our Astasakis, Rangadevi and Sudevi. They're twins. I can't remember their father's name, but he lives in this village. And I also have very, because sometimes, well, all the time we're passing through, it just happens to be the day when we were at Bhimalkund in Kamivan, it was Diwali. And then when we pass through here, next day after Diwali is Govardhan Puja. But sometimes we're off by one day. So next day, for us, is always Govardhan Puja. We get there, some other Vrijvasis are celebrating on that day. And I have a very nice friend there named Mangal Singh. I met him one time. We were just talking and he just grabbed me by the hand and he took me home, and they make this nice anukut. They just take so many different types of grains and they cook it all together like that, and he just sat me down and he fed me so nice anukut prasad. He was so happy. And they make for Govardhan Puja, what they do is they take cow dung, gober, and they make this funny little very, very simple form, you know, just out of cow dung. They make all this little cow dung, you know, with one hand up like this. They're very simple. Not that we do it very, we get, you know, very, very artistic with ours. But they're very simple. The village is very simple. Just little piles of cow dung with one hand up like this and one hand down and two legs. And they make it, the belly empty, and they fill it full of sweets. And they put little piles of cow dung here and there with peacock feathers coming out like that. And it's very sweet. This is how they celebrate their Govardhan, make anukut, and they make this beautiful gober giriraj like that. So anyway, this is the village of Rangadevi and Sudevi. And in fact, there's a little Sudevi temple on top of the mountain, and this mountain has got very nice rock for making stone walls, just like the stone wall in Brindakund is also made from the stones from this Sunaragram. The stone at the Govardhan Palace is also, all the way from Sunera to Govardhan they bring it. The stone is so nice for making rocks. But every person who takes a tractor trolley full of rocks, he has to give a donation to the Sudevi temple. Every single trolley that goes out, I can't remember, it's 1 rupee or something like that, 50 paisa, they have to give. Every trolley that goes has to give 50 paisa to the Sudevi temple. So now, as we go down the road from Sunera toward Unchagaon, we find some of the nicest Raj in all of Braj. This is just so soft and fine, and it's just like Johnson & Johnson's baby powder Raj. It's the softest Raj. This is the Raj that we pray for. Sometimes it's not so soft, but this is some of the softest Raj. It's so sweet. You just roll it in and walk in, and it's just fluffy and powdery, and this is the nicest Raj in all of Braj. And we come to a little place called, just before Unchagaon, called Sakigiri Parvat. So Parvat you remember, and Giri you remember, huh? mountain. So this is mountain. All the Sakis used to play there. In fact, if you go on top, no, there's nobody, I mean, there's many guides. They'll show you many things on top of this hill, but nobody can show you the footprints of the Sakis. You just have to go there and chant and pray and be in the right mood and you'll find them. I found them before. But the guides will show you. I can't remember. There's so many things. Always a little kid will come along and he'll show you. This is there and this is there. You know, there's a, and the Chapan Bog Katoras are there. There's a whole place with all these little, you know, 64 little cups are scooped out of the rock. They can show you all these things, but to find the gopis' footprints, you just have to be in the right mood and pray and wander around and chant, and somehow, every once in a while you'll find a little Saki print there and a little Saki print there. But there's a very special place, Chitra Vichitra Shila. There's one time behind that hill like that, and when they looked, because that stone was so ecstatic that Radharani put her shawl, that it melted, and you can still today, you can see the little embroidery, just like a little cashmere shawl. The little embroidery is there. You can see the outline of the shawl, and the little embroidery is there. Nice little embroidery all over the shawl. So, what time is it?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock, all right, good. So, now leaving the wonderful, wonderful Raj behind, we cross a little bridge and we come to Unchagaon, which is the birthplace of Lalita Sakhi. And Rupa Goswami, he's got a very beautiful Lalitastikam. 8 prayers glorifying Lalita. So he prays there that this wonderful divine couple, Radha and Krishna, are performing all of their pastimes in Braj under your protection. Because Lalita, she's senior to Radharani, so she's like her Siksha Guru. Like that. So they're performing all of their pastimes under your direction. So when this divine couple is under your direction, I don't have to go to anybody else. If I get your permission, then I can also enter into these pastimes. So if we get the permission of Lalita Devi, because even the divine couple is under her protection, and under her direction. So somehow or other we can get the mercy of Lalita Devi, then we can enter into these pastimes. In fact, he goes on describing the beauty of Lalita Devi, that her complexion is thousands and million times more beautiful than that wonderful autumn moon that excites Lord Krishna and inspires him to do the rasa dance. This is the complexion of Lalita Devi. In fact, another poet has said that you see the moon. Now today we won't see the moon at all. You notice the last few days at Mangalartik we saw this little sliver was there, it was getting smaller and smaller, and today you didn't see anything, did you? Those who went, huh? You didn't see anything. Because there's no moon today. So sometimes he gets smaller, and now from tomorrow in the evening, we'll see a little sliver in the evening sky. And every day it will get bigger and bigger and bigger until it comes to Gaur Purnima. Now 2 more weeks to Gaur Purnima, because today is new moon day, Amavasya. So now 2 more weeks. And moon will get bigger and bigger. Then after that again, he gets smaller. So this poet, he says that the creator, Lord Brahma, he paints this beautiful moon in the sky. Every day he paints it a little bigger and bigger. And when it's full, he's not satisfied, so he erases all his work. And then again he tries again, and he paints and paints and paints. And when it's again full, he's not satisfied, he again erases. And he's been going on for millions of years trying to duplicate the beautiful complexion of Lalita Sakhi, and he's unable to complete, to duplicate it. This is why the moon gets smaller and bigger. He's trying to duplicate that wonderful complexion of Lalita Devi. But Lalita Devi's wonderful quality, Rupa Goswami says, if somebody comes in Braj Mandal, even if he has no qualification, even if he's not a devotee, even for somehow or other, within his heart, a little tiny desire to serve Radha and Krishna appears, immediately Lalita Devi engages that person in service. we have no qualification, we don't have anything, but somehow or other, a tiny desire, this is our problem, we have no desire. We're desirous, completely super enthusiastic for sense gratification, but we have no desire for Krishna's service. But even a tiny little whiff of a desire comes, then Lila Devi will fan that desire and make it very great. So we should all pray at the lotus feet of Lalita Devi. Because her most faithful servant is Rupa Manjari, who's none other in Gaur Lila, he's Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada said, we are all Rupanugas, followers of Rupa Goswami. That makes us automatically followers of Lalita Devi. So she's like our param param, supremely param guru. Like that. So we all want to, without the mercy of Guru, we know we can't enter. So therefore, this is a very, very special place, Lalitagram, birthplace of Lalita Devi. And there's a wonderful little tiny temple on top of the hill. In fact, the Bujari there, Radharaman, he's getting older and older. And every time I go there, he's begging and pleading for us to take over that temple. So if anybody sitting here is interested to become the temple president of ISKCON Uchagaon, you can see me. I already have, there's one very nice devotee named Saranagati from Philadelphia. She's ready to pay for, she's already paying for the bhog. So you don't have to worry about the bhog. The entire month she sends, every month she sends the bhog there. So the bhog is already paid for. We just need a temple president for ISKCON Uchagaon. Very wonderful, huge temple. And there's a very interesting Shila in this temple. If you look at it, you can just, if you look for a little while, you'll suddenly see the form, this little tribhanga form playing the flute. And if you look very closely, then you'll see the Radharani is just nearby praying at the lotus feet of Krishna. Just somehow they broke this stone in half and a form appeared. And they keep it now, it used to have a little shrine outside, but they keep it now inside the temple. And you look very closely, it's very interesting. Somehow Radha and Krishna's picture appeared in this little shila here. Now Lilita, she's senior to Radharani, so she's considered like Radharani's sixth guru. In fact, she's always instructing Radharani. Now tie your sari properly before you leave the house. Don't walk too fast, you just ate. Now don't be too much in a hurry to go see Krishna. And whenever Krishna misbehaves, then Lalita, she becomes very angry and she begins to chastise him. And if Radharani's done anything wrong, she begins to shiver out of fear of Lalita Devi like this. And she's very expert. Somehow or other, she'll scold Krishna, and somehow or other, when Radharani becomes too much angry with Krishna, somehow or other she'll assuage her anger and then somehow or other bring them back together. She's making so many wonderful arrangements. So this is the place of Lalita Devi, Uchagaon. Big festival is there on the 2 days before Radhastami. A big festival, big feast is there. Everyone, all the Brijbasis come and sing and dance. A very wonderful festival is there. And down below this village, down below in the village, there's Triveni Koop. Just like we took all the trouble to go all the way to Prayag, to the Triveni, to take our bath. We could have just gone to Uchagaon. But we didn't go there for taking bath. We went to Kumbh Mela for spreading the holy name and distributing Prabhupada's books and prasadam. But anyway, we can just go right to Uchagaon. Triveni Koop is there. The water of not only Triveni, but all the sacred waters are in that Triveni Koop well. And just nearby is the samadhi of Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who under the shelter of Rupa and Sanatan, he discovered many, many wonderful places, especially in this Barsana area. He discovered many places. In fact, he discovered the beautiful deity of Radharani that's up in the temple on top of Barsana Hill. And nearby is also one very ancient, very old Daoji temple. Now we may wonder, what in the world is a Daoji temple doing in the place of Lalita Devi? And we're just down the road from Barsana. Because we already heard it's not proper for the older brother to be there. But Balaram, we know from Krishna book, he wants to serve Krishna in every way. He becomes his umbrella, he becomes his walking stick, he becomes his shoes, he becomes his seat, he becomes his bed, he becomes everything. Even the Braj Mandal is an expansion of Balaram. So he also wants to serve in this Madhurya Rasa, so he expands himself as Ananga Manjari, Radharani's little sister. Just so he can... This is all spiritual technology we can't... We'll never be able to understand till we go back. But anyway, somehow he expands himself as Ananga Manjari in order to be involved somehow, to render service to Krishna, somehow or other, in Madhurya Leela also. So one old ancient Dauji Manjari is there. So now we head towards Barsana. Now just as you can imagine, if you understand the word Barsha, do you know what the word Barsha means? You don't have a little friend named Barsha? Barsha means rain. But in Barsana, not ordinary rain is coming, only rain of Krishna prema is coming. And this whole hill is sprinkled with so many wonderful pastimes of Krishna. It is the most wonderful place. This is actually Radha and Krishna's playground, Barsana. It is such a wonderful place. And this hill, just like we heard Giriraj was incarnation of Vishnu, now this hill of Barsana is incarnation of... Do you know? Do you know? Brahma. This is called Brahma Parvat. Because Lord Brahma, he performed many, many hundreds and millions of penances and austerities. And when Lord Krishna asked him what benediction he wanted, he said, somehow or other I want to be in Braj to see your Leela. So Krishna told him, yes, you become a hill. And on top of your four heads, I will perform unlimited varieties of pastimes. So we see Barsana Hill has got four different peaks. And this is the most glorious place. Completely wonderful place. And there's a wonderful little prickham of Barsana. And as we go along, between one of the peaks and the main hill, there comes a very narrow pass that we call Sankari Kor. Sankari Kor means a very narrow way. So on the other side of that pass, there's a little village called Chiksoli, which is very famous for butter and yogurt and milk and ghee, all types of milk products. So whenever Radharani and the Sakis got word that somehow or other from their parrot or somehow some messenger came and told that Krishna and his cowherd boys' friends are just herding their cows nearby, like that, they would immediately run to Chiksoli and get so many pots of butter and milk and yogurt and ghee, not to sell them. Radharani is the daughter of a king, King Brishabhanu. Do you think she has to go to the bazaar and sell milk and butter and yogurt? This is just an excuse to get out of the house, get out of the palace. They tell their parents that there's a yajna going on somewhere and the Brahmins require milk and butter and yogurt and ghee, or the sages are having a big feast and we have to go there. They never go for selling these things. This is just an excuse. So Radharani, with this big pot of yogurt on top of her head, she's coming through the pass. She's called Hansa Gamani. You know? We were singing that song the other day. Hansa Gamani. Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Hansa. You ever seen how swans walk? They sort of waddle like this and like this. So Radharani, she's just walking so sweetly, and she's got this beautiful golden belt across her hips, and she's walking so sweetly, just like a swan, and her ankle bells are tinkling, and that tinkling sound, that is just like little, the sound is just like little drops of nectarine spray are being sprinkled on all the residents of Barsana. Just ting, ting, just like little drops of nectarine spray are being sprinkled. And very shyly, from the corner of her eye, she's noticing that all, that the cowherd boys and Sri Nandanandan have come to block the pass. So suddenly Radharani, walking just like a beautiful swan with this beautiful sound, and the whole earth turns pink, and wherever she steps, the reflection of her lotus feet just makes the earth appear pink. Huh? And she comes to this place and smiling, or trying not to smile, trying to appear very agitated, although she's very happy, she tries to appear very angry, that why this fellow is blocking the road. And Nandanandan says, look, if you want to come through the pass, you have to pay dan, tax. And Radharani says, why do we have to pay tax? Are they? You girls are making a big profit selling all of this butter and yogurt all over Braj, and you're not giving any tax to your king. So then Lalita and Visakha, they become the advocates for Srimati Radharani, and Subal and Madhu Mangal become the advocates for Nandanandan. And Lalita says, now wait a minute. Since when did you become the king here? This is Maharaj Brisabanu's palace, and he's the king here. We don't have to give tax to anyone. And Madhu Mangal says, now look, for every argument you make, we're going to double the tax. Now, this may be Maharaj Brisabanu's place, but the king of the whole of Braj is Nanda Maharaj, therefore you have to give us tax. And Lalita Sakhi says, just see the impudence. You fellows were living over there in Gokul with your little friend here, and he made such a disturbance stealing butter and yogurt from everyone. They went to the king, King Kamsa, and complained. He came there with his army. He had to flee with his father and all his relatives from that place. He came over to this side of the river. Brisabanu Maharaj, out of the kindness of his heart, he gave a little corner of his kingdom to them, and now you're claiming to be the king of the whole place. Just see the impudence. And Madhu Mangal says, wait a minute, where did you get this story? This story is not bona fide. We're going to the GBC. This is deviant philosophy. So this is not a bona fide. This is a bogus story. Where did you get this? This is a bogus. This story is bogus. What are you talking about? Nanda Maharaj is the king of... I told you, we're going to double the tax. If you make one more argument, we're definitely going to double the tax. And not only that, we're going to tax you for all the flowers that you pick in this bridge also. Oh yeah? And we're going to tax you guys. You're taking your cows everywhere, you know, the grass. We're going to tax you for that. And this way, the big argument is going back and forth and back and forth, and everybody's putting forward their arguments. Finally, Radharani, she just gives a little push to Sri Nandanandan like this. Just boop. Nandanandan, this is like a big insult. She just boop. Of course, it's all play. He's not really angry. He's very happy that she pushed him like that. But he pretends to become very, very angry. And we know what happens when little boys get angry, right? You know, it's just like an atomic bomb goes off in the heart. And, you know? So he just, boom, he grabs that pot of yogurt right off of Radharani's head. Now, we just described what happens when little boys get angry. We're afraid to describe what happens when little girls get angry. Radharani, she grabs on the other side of that pot, and she's just shooting darts at Nandanandan with her eyebrows, with her beautiful bowstring, bow-shaped eyebrows. She's shooting darts, and she begins to push, and Nandanandan's pushing, and a big push of war is going on, and all the Sakis come behind Radharani, and all the Sakis come behind Nandanandan. They're going up and down in this little pass, and they're going up and down and up and down, and the cowherd girls are pulling on the sikas of the cowherd boys. Cowherd boys are pulling on the saris of the Sakis like this big push of war is going on. And somehow or other, Radharani screams, and all the Sakis are pushing and pushing, and they're getting all the way through. They're about to get through. Then Nandanandan sees they're going to get through. Then he takes that pot and pow! He smashes it right on the side of, right in the stone on the side of the path. And if you go there, because you know yogurt's a little greasy, right? We can still see the grease stain right on that spot. You saw it? We can still see that grease stain right on that spot where Nandanandan broke the pot of yogurt. And many times little Brijbajis will come and they'll try to tax us to get through there also. And if we go through the path, which is a lot of fun, especially barefoot, going through this, and you can just imagine, just walking through there is a lot of fun. We can't even imagine what it's like having a big push if we're going back in. We come down the other side, there's a beautiful little platform there, with a beautiful little place for Radha and Krishna to sit. And every year on the Trayadasi, after Radhastami, Astami means 8th day, so Trayadasi means 13th day. In Nandagram, everywhere they're selling jalebis. You never find jalebis in Nandagram, but that day, everywhere they sell jalebis in Nandagram. And all the Brijbasis in Nandagram eat jalebis, and then they all run over to Barsana. And just about noontime, everybody gets there, and you won't find one square centimeter of those hills that is not covered by someone. It's completely packed, and they've made a beautiful little canopy over that little platform there. And all the Brahmins from Nandagram and Barsana have come, and they sing back and forth. You know, they have beautiful little Brijbasi songs where the Brahmins from Barsana, from Nandagram, insult the Brahmins from Barsana, and the Barsana Brahmins insult back to the Nandagram Brahmins. Like this, they sing back and forth, and then some children come who are playing Radha and Krishna, and all the Sakis. The little boys all dressed up just like Radha and Krishna and all the Sakis. And then they sing and dance, and the whole beautiful thing is that then all the residents of Chiksoli come, and they just grab tree branches and bushes out of the ground, and they're all yelling and screaming, and they have a big pot of yogurt, and they pick up Radha and Krishna on their shoulders, and they go up the path, and they smash that pot of yogurt on the spot, and it's an incredible scene. And then everybody goes upstairs to the temple, and they have beautiful flower bungalow. Flower Palace Darshan on that day. That's on the 13th day, on the Radhastami, then the Trayadasi day. Every day there's a different, they go to a different village and do some pastime, but 13th is there at this little place. Now, if instead of going forward to Chiksoli, we're going to go up the hills again. Because this place is a very, very wonderful place called Bilaskar. Bilas, we know, means loving pastimes. So here, so many wonderful pastimes have taken place. One time, Radharani was very, very angry with Krishna. So Krishna was thinking what to do. So he came there dressed as a gopi. And he wandered into the assembly of gopis there. Somehow or other he maneuvered himself so he got, because everybody was serving Srimati Radharani, he was massaging her lotus feet like that. And Lalita and Radharani, they saw this new gopi has come. And they saw, they noticed certain characteristics and they winked at each other. And gradually this new gopi, she maneuvered herself around, and finally she was fanning Srimati Radharani and feeding her fruit and so many sweets and things like that. And Radharani glanced at Lalita and said, "You know, this new Saki, she's rendering such nice service." And everyone agreed, "Oh yes, she's doing nice service. But she doesn't know how to dress herself properly. She doesn't have a very nice... We should reward her with a brand new sari and brand new ornaments and brand new... everything brand new." So immediately, Lalita, you go and get a brand new sari and choli and everything and bring it here. And then, all the gopikas, they surrounded this new gopi and they began to try and take off her sari and everything. And Krishna's fighting like anything. And they're pulling, but this gopi, now he's in big trouble now, you know. And they're just pulling and pulling, and finally they pull open this choli and boom, these two mangoes pop out. And everybody sees Krishna standing there like that. And Radharani, she can't remain angry seeing Krishna like this. So then she forgives him. There's also a beautiful Hindol at this place. Hindol means jula. In Hindi we call it Hindol. Beautiful little arch where there's a little bar across, and they put the swing there and do swinging pastimes. And this is a very special place. It's right during the month of Shravan, at least in most parts of, at least in, on our side, and the south, they also told me, Gujarat, they also told me, I don't know about Bengal, but in Shravan, generally, the young married girls go home to visit their father. Bengali culture also, Shravan. So, in Shravan time, Radharani, she goes, this rainy season, she goes to visit, goes back to Barsana to stay. She's living in Javad, but now she goes back to Barsana. And sometimes she goes on top of this hill in Bilaskar, and she begins to swing with all her sakis. So that time, Nandanandan, he wandered over to that place, and he's dressed in a very beautiful sari with it pulled down very carefully over his head, and he's just walking along very shyly, looking down at the ground like that. And Lalita, she notices this new sakhi, and she points it out to Radharani. So bring her here. So they come there, they take her by her hand, she comes very shyly, you know, just looking out from under her sari like that, very shyly. And Radharani says, "Oh sakhi, oh my dear sister, why are you standing there? Please come and sit on this swing with me." So then they take her by the hand, and they sit that sakhi down on the swing right next to Radharani, and the gopis are swinging very sweetly, very sweetly. Now you've guessed who this gopi is. Now he's got his desire. He's sitting right next to Srimati Radhika on the swing. His heart is going boom, 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 boom. He faints. As soon as he faints, and Lalita Pitaka, they come like this to wake her up, and Lalita starts laughing and says, "What's so funny?" And she reaches inside and pulls out Nandanandan's flute. And they say, "Oh, it's Nandanandan." So they sprinkle some water, they wake him up, and they enjoy this beautiful Julan Yatra. That was Ekadasi day. So Ekadasi day up to the Balaram Purnima on our calendar, what is that called? Julan Yatra of Radha Govinda. So that pastime takes place here. So, what time is it?
1:20.
All right. So we'll continue our Prakrama of Barsana. There's so many wonderful pastimes that took place here, so we'll continue our Prakrama of Barsana tomorrow. Is there any questions? Yes? Well, Vishwakarma gave his daughter to Bibhisvan, Sangya. So when he approached her, then she shut her eyes like that. So he became angry and said, "Now you will get a son who will make everyone shut their eyes, and everyone will be afraid of your son." So, being very intelligent, instead of becoming angry with her husband, she just fell down on his feet and she began to massage his feet and beg forgiveness from him. She said, "Oh, what can I do? Your tejas so much, I couldn't help it, you know." And she just was massaging his feet, so then his heart became a little soft and he said, "Oh, what have I done?" So he said, "All right, then I cannot change the curse, I've already cursed." He said, "But I give you benediction that you will also get daughter who will save everyone, who... your daughter will free everyone from the fear of your son." So then she gave birth to twins, Yam and Yami, Yamaraj and Yamuna. So Yamaraj and Yamuna, they're brother and sister. So this is how, this is one of her pastimes of appearing.
I was wondering, you mentioned a few stories now about the Pandavas when they were in exile.
Yeah.
But I always heard that in the Mahabharata that when the Pandavas were in their exile, that if they were found while they were in exile, they just spent...
No, that was when during the Agyatvas. That was the last year.
That was the last year.
Yeah. The last year, that was the condition, that nobody can find them. But just before that year, they stayed in Kamivan. Then, after that, they went to whatever, what was the name of that king's place? What was the name of that king?
Ekachakra?
No, Ekachakra is another, that's another time. Anyway, they went to this king's place and disguised themselves there. I'm not Mahabharata scholar, so... I can't remember his name right now. I'm trying to figure out what the doves say here in Braj. They all say, Radhe Sham. Radhe Sham. Here they have a different... Maybe Gor, 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 Nitai Gor, 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 Nitai Gor, Gor, Gor. Nitai Gor, Gor, Gor. Yeah, you heard them last night.
Even the jackals, they actually say
gold. That's right? Oh, I'm frightened when I hear
it. It's very sweet when they say it.
That's right?
They say Nitai. Yeah, you hear the same. I hear they say gold.
All right, so we can all offer our obeisances at the very supremely soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's the most dear servant of Srimati Radharani. Srila Prabhupada ki.